Good evening, James McCanny here with my Science Hour. This is for January 3rd, 2019. Many, many interesting topics tonight as we bring in this new year of 2019. Goodness. I'm looking forward to this year. I'll tell you the just a little, you've followed me, what I've done for the last couple years. The last couple years were really, really difficult. They were very successful, but I'm not going to be hitting that pace, you know, jumping over mountains, so to speak, as I did in the last couple of years. Now the my movement will be more paced. I'm going to actually relax a little bit. I have a lot of irons in the fire. So it's going to be a year of moving forward based on the real firm foundations that I built over the last couple of years. And that's good because I'll tell you, it was all of the things that I had to do in the last couple of years, not the least of which was all of the XPRIZE efforts, which turned out, as you all know, how that turned out. And a lot of forward movement in a lot of different directions. And remember that I'll just review something, what I call my World Energy Water Project. And 15 years ago, I realized, as most people that had any intelligence in the world, a lot of people were out there sleeping and you're still playing with their cell phones. But energy and water, of course, are well known to be major issues. But they were going to become even bigger issues. So I positioned myself in front of those two industries, and all of my work now is coming to fruition. So the water filter business has now gone commercial with the commercial size water filters. And by the way, there's only one MR9 filter left. So if anybody's interested in picking up that whole house filter, all the information on my sales page, go to my webpage, jmccsci.com, click on the secure web ordering page link, and scroll down to the whole house filters. There's one MR9 deal left where you get basically an MR9 for the price of an MR5. And then, there's only one of those deals left. But, so the water filters, I'm very proud of what's happening there. I have my line of water tanks. And what I'm going to be doing now also is moving more into water in coordination with other groups and people, water management. In other words, now to manage water, you need energy, and that's where the energy part comes in. So that's where the wing generator comes in, and that energy solution is so encompassing that energy is everywhere, but it's an essential part of water. But water is not the only energy solution that I'm working on. Energy is for electric automobiles, and electricity on the farm, on the ranch, and going up to bigger. I've expanded the product line down to smaller sizes, up to much bigger sizes. So a lot going on in the background without being tremendously specific. And I should mention that I did lose about a week here. I had food poisoning. And I ended up in the hospital, so I lost about a week, which was a very important week for me. But I'm making it up now and moving forward. And those kind of things happen. You know, Christmas holidays, there's a lot of food around. I don't know what I ate or what it was, but wow. So anyway, as a quick summary on the World Energy Water Project, that is moving forward. There's a lot of interest in the background, and what you see, what I talk about on the air, on when I'm a guest on radio shows, is about 10% of what I'm doing. because obviously, you know, things are happening and you never know which direction is going to go, which one is not as productive, and how I'm going to spend my time. So with that said, moving into 2019, the future I see as bright. And I'm just talk a little bit about the economy with China, etc. I see this personally. I don't have to read the newspaper to understand what's going on with China or the various things, trade wars, etc. This has, let me just summarize it like this. The news is too simplistic. The United States has been beaten to a pulp economically for decades, ripped off, and basically Trump is doing a very good thing. He's starting to combat economically with the Chinese, who basically have taken us for a ride. And so now I see the results of this. I see American companies, which I deal with, coming forward. And I see American companies coming forward with products that previously I could only have manufactured in China. And so this is a very interesting thing. This would not have happened 2 years ago, because the American companies would have just, in certain areas, especially electronics, things like that, they would have not have even attempted to compete with the Chinese. Now they're coming forward, they're making better products, the U.S. manufacturers in certain areas, and they're putting their foot down. So this is a direct result of Trump's policies, and believe me, I'm going to buy American when I can. A number of years ago, it was impossible to get American manufacturers to move, so I had to go to China. I had to go to China, and I had very good products made. Not my water filters. My water filters are all made in the USA, but I'm talking about electronics. And so clearly I deal with some things that you don't see in the in my web pages, etc. But that's just a story. So I see this directly. I don't have to read the New York Times or go to CNN to understand the news. So the war on China and trade and keeping our technologies is working. And the way it's working is it's making American companies strong and allowing us to turn to these American companies and say, way to go, you know, keep it up. Okay, so with that said, I'll be going through my litany here of topics of the week, news topics. A lot of big topics in outer space. China landed on the far side of the moon. And this is very strange because the first picture they sent back had shadow issues. If you look at this, now they supposedly landed on the edge of a big crater. One is allegedly the biggest, oldest crater on the moon, but on the far side of the moon. Now, previous to landing this orbiter on the moon, it was launched like December 18th, so just a quick trip to the moon. But I'll just make a quick comment here. By the time NASA gets to the moon and lands their three little men on the moon again, if they do, I mean, that's what they're saying they're going to do. By the time they ever do that, they'll be able to step out of the space capsule and buy Chinese takeout. That's where this is going. The United States, and then I see Pence saying, oh, we got to be number one in space. Well, talk is talk. And they're depending on NASA, and you know, you can be the cheerleader all you want, ziz, boom, roo, rah, rah, or whatever, but it ain't happening. NASA is a failed organization. It has been a failed organization, and it's not going to change. They do not have the wherewithal to compete with neither Russia nor China. So anyway, the China landed on the moon. They have a rover. They're going to move around. They're going to do some little experiments. They're going to see if they can grow some plants up there, not on the moon, but obviously in a little container with low gravity. and then they're going to do some radio astronomy experiments. They're doing some other things from the moon. But since they're on the far side of the moon, that spacecraft cannot communicate directly with us on Earth or with China. And so previously, China put up a telecommunications orbiter, which goes around the moon. It's in orbit around the moon. So China has a presence on the moon, which we do not. The orbiter receives the data from the lander and then signals it back to Earth. So that's a fairly sophisticated little operation, which means that, and then they're also going to try and do the same thing on the planet Mars in a couple of years. They're going to try and land on Mars in a couple of years. So, and one quip about Mars is that many countries have tried to get spacecraft to Mars. None of them have succeeded. They've all failed midway there. So something's going on there. And I've always been suspicious that the CIA, which controls NASA and Tier 1 science, and now you have to understand the organization here. The top-down organization does not come from the federal government. The CIA is not part of the federal government. It may appear to be, but it's the police force of the Vatican in the United States, the World Bank. So you have to understand these organizational things. And I'll be talking a little bit about the Vatican here in a minute, so I'll talk some more about that. But there is a secret space program that's been going on. I know about it because people have been in contact with me over the years from those groups. I've had people come out and ask me questions because they couldn't figure something out. And I would talk to them. And, you know, the people have come to me, and I know that a lot of my work, they understand fully, but they're not allowed to talk back. Very interesting situation, because I don't have anything to do with their goofy non-disclosure agreements and secret, all that baloney. I don't deal with any of that. Never have, never will. But they understand that what I'm doing. In fact, I've had them ask me, how do you figure out everything that you know? And it's because, like I explained on my podcast, when I started my work and I had all my theoretical work relative to electromagnetic theory and gravity, the operation of a comet, the interaction of electromagnetic forces with gravitational objects. And let me have a caveat here. I am not saying gravity is electromagnetic. It's not. Gravity is a totally separate force. So let me just make that clear. But when I started my work, my point is that I had a few pieces of the puzzle, of a 300-piece puzzle. And I make this analogy. Imagine you went to the store and you bought a puzzle. And it had a nice picture of the San Francisco Bay Bridge on it. And so you dump all the pieces out and you start putting it together and you kind of have an idea of where you're going here. But what if somebody, you know, like I came along to unravel the puzzle of the theoretical nature of the universe in the solar system and comets, etc. And I had my pieces. I had the comet information. I had the plasma discharge comet model. I had to find out what was charging these comets because they don't just stay charged magically forever. In the plasma environment of outer space, they would be neutralized charge-wise. They would be neutralized very quickly. So I had to figure out all of these pieces. And so then the so-called picture on the cover of the puzzle box was this garbage that came out of standard science, Big Bang, Snowball Comet model, all the baloney. So when I started building my puzzle, I said, yeah, this is all of this Big Bang, Snowball Comet model, cosmology, dark matter, dark energy, missing mass, is all garbage. None of this could possibly be true. So it would be like somebody gave you a puzzle and it had a picture of the San Francisco Bay Bridge on it, and you dumped all the pieces out and you start putting it together and you go, hey, this ain't the San Francisco Bay Bridge. This is something else. And so you start putting it together, and I ended up with a complete theoretical structure from galactic formation to star formation to fusion in the atmosphere to how the solar wind works to how weather works on the planets to how the planets form and have their atmospheres completely built and how moons form and are captured in the capture process of solar systems and that the solar system did not form all at one time 4.5 billion years ago. All of these mantras of NASA are just complete baloney. And I had to put this together without a roadmap, without a picture, without the overall picture of the puzzle. And now I have that completely done. In fact, I've been doing this, a review of this in my paid cast, which I suggest everybody partake in. But my point is that when I started this whole process, there was no roadmap. It was figuring out all of these pieces and moving in the directions that I knew were necessary. Where did the charge of comets come from? That allowed me to predict X-rays in comets 15 years before they were discovered. Okay, so anyway, back to the idea of China landing on the moon. This is a very major event. The United States is going to have to get its act together. And this is one of the things I agree with a lot with what Trump does. But regarding space, he's good that he got NASA out of any, and the Air Force. It's very good that he got these outfits out of what he's calling his space force, an individual group that concentrates only on that. The Air Force is having a lot of trouble getting a fighter plane made that flies in the atmosphere, let alone going out into outer space. No, we need a separate entity which concentrates on outer space. That's area up there with no air. And so that's very important. We cannot depend on NASA or the Air Force. And a lot of people don't know this, by the way, but the Navy has the majority of activity in outer space, so which they should because they're confined to boats. They're used to that type of activity. But even at that, we have a very poor space presence. Even with the secret science, everything that else is going on, the United States is very much behind in outer space. And this China probe to the moon is just indicative of what's coming. Like I say, by the time NASA gets to the moon, steps their three little astronauts, come down and make some kind of little saying, they'll be able to turn around and buy Chinese takeout, walk down the street and sit at a park bench made by the Chinese and eat it. Okay, so at any rate, the next big space story is that the New Horizons spacecraft that recently went by the planet Pluto and concluded, which I show in my webpage, that Pluto is a comet, and clearly its moon Charon is a comet. Pluto has a number of associated bodies with it, a number of moons, has 5 known moons orbiting it. For a little planet out in the middle of nowhere, it has a very active atmosphere, 1,000 miles high. Now, it shouldn't have any atmosphere. It has a bubbling surface. It has snow in the atmosphere. It has atmospheric weather. So anyway, this spacecraft, New Horizons, continued on and just visited another object called Ultima Thule, it is called. And it came within 2,200 miles. Now, this is like nose to nose. So NASA has already sent back a photo. They're calling it a snowman, and it's like two balls that are stuck together, one bigger than the other. So it kind of looks like your snowman, although this traditional snowman would have 3 balls of snow. I made many of them as a kid. Now, immediately, NASA, without any verification, without any reason for saying it, their standard claim is, oh, well, this is a remnant from 4.5 billion years ago when the solar system formed. I mean, this sing-song little nursery rhyme is so, so sick. It is sick. It's ill that they're trying to sound intelligent, because this object, they don't have any measurements, they don't have any reason for believing is 4.5 billion years old, or any age at all. 100 years old, 2 million years old. They don't know. They flew by. There it is. But literally what's going on here, this is now the first real Kuiper Belt object. Pluto would have been the first Kuiper Belt object, but that's kind of on the inter-edge. But here's an object which is a comet. And the reason you understand that is because and it's black, by the way. Pitch black. It's black as black can be, which is typical of comets. It has a little reddish tinge on one side of it. Something like Pluto's moon Charon has the similar configuration. And so, but basically, these are comets that are forming very slowly, discharging the solar capacitor out in that region, and they are in the nebular ion cloud. They're immersed in it. And so there are other bigger ones out there, but there are probably tens of thousands of these out there. The planets forming, and slowly, slowly, slowly they circle inwards. As they accumulate mass, that mass drags backwards on them, and they slowly start falling in, their orbits start spiraling into the inner solar system. I mean, it would take millions, hundreds of millions of years for any noticeable big effect. And they move very slowly out there. But anyway, this is the first of these objects. So they're in the process of formation. And so it would be interesting, but NASA will never do this. I'm sure they took pictures from a distance. They did it at Pluto. So this spacecraft certainly has the capability to take a picture at a distance and see the cometary activity around the nucleus, see the coma, and then as they get near, measure and detect the other activity going on, including the electrical discharge, which is out there would be very, very faint, but it would be there. So anyway, I'll be following that, waiting for more pictures to come in. And by the way, when I was on the John Moore Show, a caller called in and asked if it's possible. He didn't think it would be possible to get data sent over that tremendously long distance from way out there to into where we are on Earth, trillion miles, I don't know, whatever, very long distance. The answer is yes. And I've worked with systems like this myself. If you're not familiar with my background, I worked for 25 years in the electronics industry while I ran all of my plasma discharge comet model and all of my scientific meetings and all of that, which I paid for myself, flying around, going to meetings, giving talks, publishing my books and everything. I worked, and I don't do that anymore, so now I can talk about it. Of course, at the time I couldn't, because they were looking at any way to get at me. And of course, the first thing they do is try and go for your salary, your income. That's what they do. And so I had to work basically in secret for 25 years. I was a principal senior engineer in hardware and software at a telecommunications company. And then I was a network engineer at another company for another 15 years and was very successful in that field. So I know quite a bit about telecommunications, plus just my own studies and working in graduate school, etc. And at college, I used a technique. When you have a very noisy electrical environment, the question is, how do you get a signal out of that that's very faint? And there is a solution. It's been known about since probably long before I was born, where you have tuned oscillators. You have, on the receiving end, you have a tuned oscillator that's the exact same frequency as the sending end. And then you have a narrow pass filter, and so your antenna is only receiving on that very, very distinct frequency. And so then they lock in that very set frequency, and you put your information as a carrier on top of that frequency. And so then you use directive antennas, and you don't need very much power because you're pulling a very faint signal, but it's like when you do all of this isolation and filtering, that's the only signal you see. So then on Earth, we have very large radio antennas listening, pointing in that direction, directional. You've seen them, the big dish antennas, pointing towards the spacecraft, focused in on the spacecraft, and then the spacecraft with a focused dish, parabolic dish, sending and receiving the signal. So it's technology that's very well known, it's very stable, and I talk about this in my books, etc. In fact, it gets more complicated, but that's basically the technology. So the ultimate answer is yes, the technology exists to send images, digital images, over that kind of distance. And so they're just starting to get the images in right now. But what I wanted to do on this show is tell you what happens to that data when it comes into NASA. Now, you would think that this belongs to NASA and, in a sense, belongs to you. But nothing could be further from the truth. These images are being beamed back and filtered. Now, let me explain this process through a company called Southwest Research Institute. And by the way, when I was a graduate student at Tulane doing my work on polymers, basically X-ray sensitive polymers, that's what solid state in nuclear physics, that's what I got my degree in from Tulane, my advanced physics degree at Tulane University. I worked with people from Southwest Research Institute, and they have many locations, but it's a research institute, and it's one of those think tanks that has many levels. But let's just say this is not NASA. This is a private organization that is controlled top-down by the CIA. And so I don't know if the people that work there understand this. It's kind of like Battelle Institute or other scientific or engineering locations that do a lot of government research. And these institutes are very controlled, and the research is very controlled and it's very directed. But anyway, well, back in the Voyager days, there was a corporation, and all of NASA's photos were owned by that corporation. It's called Malin Space Institute. It was this was always amazing to me that a guy named David Malin, who must have been a son of somebody up in these industries, was the guy who always would interpret and get the photographs from the Voyager spacecraft. So my point is, they first go to a privately, very controlled agency where they are filtered, homogenized, blended, examined, and then they're handed off to some place like Southwest Research Institute, where the alleged NASA scientists work, but the ones that, like Howard Stern, they always quote him at Southwest Research in Colorado. Okay, well, he's a front guy, and he's making some announcement. He's reading from a script telling you about how exciting it is to get these photographs. That's the beginning of the public baloney. That's the beginning of all of the filtered photographs that come in and then are distributed as like top edge research. And so the public thinks NASA's researching this, they get all of this data and stuff. No, this is all pre-filtered, extremely blended, homogenized, pasteurized. and blended so that it, by the time it gets presented to you, the public, it's so bland, it's had so many things removed that you couldn't really tell what's going on out there. And scientists like myself, there's no way to get a word in edgewise, get a real question in. And then you have the ding-dong science press come along, publish pictures, print exactly what the Southwest Research Institute Alan Stern guy tells them to print, and that's science news. So I'm just explaining to you the process here. So when you get science from NASA, it's already, like I say, blended, homogenized, pasteurized, and regurgitated probably about three or four times, and then reblended before, and then schmoozed, and then made compatible with all existing NASA dogma before it ever gets passed on to you. So at any rate, New Horizon spacecraft will continue to move out and visit other objects and will continue to send back information, but don't believe that you are going to get it. And so I did mention that I was going to talk a bit about the Vatican. I talked to quite a bit about this on the John Moore Show yesterday, so a lot of people listen to that also. But the Vatican right now is calling for international meetings on evolution and astrophysics, if you can imagine this. And now you go, what on earth are they doing? What does Pope Francis have to do with global climate change? Well, there are dogmas in the church, okay? And you have to understand that the Vatican does a whole lot of stuff that isn't related to being Catholic, Pope, you know, head of the Catholic Church. What is the chief astronomer of the Vatican, who is a Jesuit, what's he doing calling international meetings to corroborate the church's message with evolution and modern-day cosmology, the Big Bang, black holes, dark matter, you know, general relativity? This is a strange, what you call strange bedfellows, because the Catholic Church really, you know, what are they doing in these areas of endeavor? I thought they were supposed to be interested in saving souls and out there promoting the message of Jesus, etc. In fact, I'll be honest with you, I don't remember the last time I heard the Vatican or the Pope or the Cardinals transmit any message of Jesus. I don't remember the last time. They are dealing with cosmology, trying to make the Vatican look good in eyes of evolutionary science. And this is something also that's going on. Google Education, the promotion of a book called Cosmos, which was done by Carl Sagan. And remember that Carl Sagan, this was in the 1979 to 81 era when I was at Cornell. Carl Sagan was the David Duncan Chair of Astronomy at Cornell University. And he was off in Hollywood making the Cosmos series during those years, during my Cornell years, which were the richest data years in the history of all of science, literally. So even though that was a long time ago and it was only 2 years, it was an extremely formative time in science, and it was critical, that timing, with my theoretical work and putting it all together to build the theoretical structure of how the universe really works. And so that you find in my books and my paid casts and my DVDs and CDs, etc. And then I refer to it on these shows. But basically, the message that came out of Cosmos, and by the way, in my paid cast, I have a whole series, a couple months worth of paid casts that, you know, many months worth of paid casts that deal with the Cosmos series, picking it apart show by show by show and explaining how the distorted message that came out of that. But my point is that the Cosmos book is the biggest selling book in the history of the world next to the Gutenberg Bible. They are pushing this message that evolution, that man is the result of evolution. Now, the Catholic Church is getting on board with this because they don't want to look, they don't want a conflict. They don't want to fight this overall message. In fact, they are part of the overall message, if you understand. And this goes back to the CIA in the United States that controls NASA, that controls funding for science, that controls the National Science Foundation, that controls the National Institute of Health and all the other alphabet soup agencies that dole money out to universities, etc. And this is the message that they want to promote. And if you're in a university or a college or any place, you better march the line. You better promote this product. And that's what it is. It's a product of information. Google Education has launched. Now, Google is a CIA-controlled organization, also a company, purchased by the CIA, wholly owned, to control information that flows to you, the public. And so they're doing it now. They have an education program where they're going into the schools where they will actually monitor the correspondence between teachers and students, which will all pass through Google. And the teachers are just jumping all over this. This is the greatest thing since sliced bread because they don't have to work. All of the answers are canned. If a student emails in, teacher, what are comets? Oh, we have lots of information. Comets, the canned message will come back about dirty snowball comet model and all the fluff and baloney. And this is worldwide. Now, the Cosmos series also comes with, of course, a TV series, which has been viewed, from what I heard, by one out of every seven people in the world. So that's anybody that has access to a TV or a computer. They are promoting this idea that you, man, person, human being, evolved from apes. That you are just a little bit smarter ape than the ones still out there in the jungle. In the Catholic Church is jumping on board with this message. And so right now, the head astronomer, who's basically the, just like at Cornell, the if you look at the pyramid of influence in education at Cornell University or any place, the astronomy department sits at the pinnacle. Then there's physics and basic research and chemistry and basic research, biology and basic research, you know, geology and basic research. But at the very top comes the message that the what I call the axioms of astronomy, which are totally wrong, couldn't possibly be true. This idea of the 4.5 billion year old solar system couldn't possibly be true. And the dirty snowball comet model couldn't possibly be true. That anyway, on and on, you know this story. But what's really impressive at this time is the effort worldwide they're making, the Vatican, the CIA, the Google Education, to force Cosmos series, to force these ideas on the public regarding evolution, that you are evolved on Earth here. No extra influence, no God, no creator, just molecules deciding to pop out in this direction, and one day there's an ape, and a couple of generations later, there's man walking around. That's what they want you to believe. There's no evidence for this at all. And but the strange thing, the strange bedfellow part of this is the Catholic Church involvement in this. And the amount of influence, and of course, understand that the Rothschild banking community, which controls our Federal Reserve, which controls Congress, which controls deep state Washington, is the front agency for the wealth of the Vatican. So this is all interconnected. You know, people talk about the Rosicrucians and the Illuminatis, etc. Yes, these are all very much at work. These are organizations. And I've been on radio shows with, for example, a guy who's a much better expert in that topic than I am, Leo Lion Zigami. and I've been on quite a few radio shows with him. My entrance into this is when I was working on my science projects. I saw the families, you know, running venture capital groups in Los Angeles that owned technology, military technology. These are the families that basically operate the military worldwide and make sure there are conflicts, etc. That's the war industry. These are the people that are flipping out because Trump pulled out of Syria, because their whole industry has always been, has always will be, war. That is the top industry in the world. And it also is the top control factor. You control the countries, you control the borders, you create chaos in the countries, you create economic depravity so that the young people don't have employment, so they go off and go to the military. It's the only job in town. These people have been pulling this stuff for thousands of years. And there's a little hiccup in their midst. The American public is finally waking up. But it's important. Believe me, you're not going to hear this on any other radio show about this. But I want to impress on you the importance of understanding this, and that they're going after the kids. They're going after the younger generation so that in 10 years there is a composite, unified belief of where man came from. And I talk about this, that the biggest events in man's history are not taught in school. The Great Flood, the Moses event, which was the Venus event, Venus becoming a planet, and from a large raging comet that took the atmosphere and oceans off of Mars. Look at NASA. When they go up to Mars, there are pristine riverbeds. There's all of the signs of oceans and water and rain and erosion that are recent. Why do you know they're recent? Because Mars has tremendous dust storms every year. And over a billion years would have destroyed those fine, delicate features. They're there. They're there like pristine, like the water and atmosphere left yesterday. Well, it did leave yesterday, almost a couple thousand years ago, because the ancients tell us that Mars was a blue planet. But NASA goes, no, 4 billion years ago, the oceans were there. They don't have any reason for believing that. They don't have any reason for saying that. There's no scientific measurement or reading that they have made to believe that or to propagate that lie. It's just made up baloney because they have to corroborate with this message that everything happened long ago and that you are just living on this planet and just keep doing what you're doing. Why is Pope Francis promoting global climate change? That he made a whole tour of the world promoting global climate change. What does that have to do with saving your soul and being Catholic and going to heaven? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. So you have to understand that right now the Vatican astronomer, Jesuit, they're all Jesuits, the entire Vatican is Jesuit. And who are the Jesuits? They are a group of, this is history. You probably won't read this in the history book. When the Inquisition in Spain was going on, basically you had to become a Catholic or have your eyes gouged out and killed. There were options. Two. This is it or this is it. So the Jesuits were Jewish intellectuals who got together and said, look, we got to become Catholic, but let's stay organized. So behind the scenes, the Jesuits became Catholic and eventually took over the Vatican and the Catholic Church. And they're not traditional, you know, they're not what you would call the rank and file of the Catholic Church. So now the entire Vatican is Jesuit, and it has been for hundreds of years. And very much controlled, the Rothschild banking, this whole deal. So the Vatican is not what it appears to be. You know, the go-between between the Catholic people of the world and God? No. They're doing a whole lot more. They have astronomers, professional astronomers. They have astronomical observatories. Anyway, I could go on and on about that. But okay, I'm going to cut this topic off here. But what's very important is right now the Jesuit astronomer, head of the Catholic Vatican science world, is calling for international meetings with evolutionary scientists and cosmological scientists to get their story straight, and it's going to be the same as the Cosmos series. This is the blueprint for what you're going to be fed from the Catholic Church, from standard science. If your kids start kindergarten, from the time they walk into kindergarten, it's going to be programming along this line. And if you look, there's no creator in here. There's no spirit of man. There's no soul. You are a monkey, just smarter than the ones out there in the jungle. And that's the entire message of the Cosmos series. And this is going to be blended, homogenized, and fed to you on the evening news, on National Geographic specials, on the History Channel, on the Discovery Channel, on everything that you see when you pick up a book at the bookstand, and when your kids go to school, and the textbook industry, the publishing industry, science that comes from NASA, when the New Horizons spacecraft goes out to visit the next Kuiper Belt object. It's going to be 4.5 billion years old, just like the last one. And the next one will be 4.5 billion years old, just like the last one. This is where you're headed, folks. And, yeah, this is your future of science. So that's why I keep plugging away, doing my paid cast and doing my research and understanding that, for example, let's take a segue here into the world of three-blade wind generators. More and more information is coming, is seeping out to the public under the heavy-handed brick wall of the American Wind Energy Association, or the Canadian Wind Energy Association, CEWEA, or whatever, the European Wind Energy Association, that are headed up by General Electric and Siemens and Vesta and all of the big corporations that profit off of wind energy through government subsidies. But these things don't work. Now they're planning on installing some new wind energy, bigger, you know, whatever. But these things don't work. It's a way for the energy companies to sell the public with the idea that they're trying to put out alternative energy, knowing that there will never be a solution using those outdated monsters. They're an environmental disaster. If you look from the birth, from the initial manufacturing of a three-blade wind generator, if you look through the whole process to the time they are defunct and have to be taken down in the ecological disaster, in China, where they get the niobium minerals to make the magnets, etc. If you look at the ecological disaster of the world of the three-blade wind energy industry, it is horrific. It is absolutely horrific, and they don't work. They don't provide, let me just give you a little fun fact here. There are about, right now, 88,000 to 100,000 installed three-blade wind generators in the United States. And if you multiplied that number by the nameplate value, in other words, the so-called energy generation value of these machines, there would be enough energy to replace all the nuclear and coal power plants in the United States. But not a single nuclear or coal power plant has ever been shut down or even modified to shut down by three-blade wind generators. So the end result is, I mean, you don't need a PhD in wind technology to understand that these monstrosities don't work. They're an ecological disaster. The poor people that have to live near these things. So when I came along and invented the wing generator, I said, not only do I have to produce a product that actually produces energy, I have to cure all of these other problems at the same time. So I'm not going to go into the wing generator now. But once again, it's the same consortium of companies in the energy industry, General Electric. What's their main, and Siemens, what is their main industry? If you look at the composite industry of General Electric, their main industry is big power plants, building equipment, servicing, replacing, maintaining. That's General Electric's core business in the electricity energy region of commerce. The same with Siemens. Wind energy is a little pimple on the butt of their industry. It was never meant to solve a problem. It was meant to give you the illusion that someday we might be off of this terrible nuclear and coal and natural gas, but with the realization that it never would be. It would never be replaced. And so now people are beset with the problem of those 100,000 three-blade wind towers in the United States. 14,000 are defunct. They are to the point where they cannot be repaired. There's probably another 50% of them that are out there in need of repair, and nobody's going to repair them. There's probably 5% where they've started to realize that, hey, somebody's going to have to take this stuff down. And there's no funds. There's the people that have put them up have gone out of business, and there's no money available, so they don't know what to do. Anyway, that's the state of the wind industry. And just a little comment on solar. The solar industry is probably going to see a lot of players go out of business this year. Last April, China put a moratorium on installing any new solar panels. China has installed more solar panels than any other country in the world, probably all other countries combined. And they were going to have a national effort to do solar and provide solar energy. And they put a moratorium last April, and they said, hey, it doesn't work. Solar does not work. And immediately, stocks dropped off the end of the table of the solar big international solar corporations. Right now, the United States was selling, because of China's demand for solar panels, the United States companies were selling a lot to China. Well, that's going away, because China just isn't buying anything. They just went from like 100 miles an hour to zero overnight. And it's not going to come back, because China realized that you can't take a nuclear or a coal or a natural gas power plant or a hydro. China has a lot of hydro. You can't take those power plants and just kind of turn them off for a little while. The hydro is not too bad, but coal and natural gas are China's big energy production when you're talking about electric, and China has a big, big appetite for electricity. So they realized that all of a sudden the clouds come in over a big area of China, 10 o'clock in the morning, and their power plants are sitting there idle. The nuclear coal, natural gas power plants are sitting there idle. They can't just power those up in 5 minutes to bring up to maintain the voltage, nor can they, if all of a sudden the clouds go away and the sun comes out, they can't take a garden hose and all of a sudden cool down these reactors, because they're up, they're fully fired up, they're powering, there's a lot of power, there's a lot of momentum, there's a lot of energy. You can't just stop these things. You can't put the brakes on. So solar does not work. It never could. And we realize this. I talk about this in my 2009 book. I knew about this before that. I knew about this when I did my studies 12 years ago on the XL Energy industry up in the Midwest, that solar and three-blade wind generators, turbines, would not work, that they were a coming disaster. And that's when I realized that it was a big scam, that it was intentional. Those were put out there to intentionally fail, to suck up all of the alternative energy money so that when the time came for the failure, there wouldn't be any money left to put into any ideas that actually might work for innovative engineers and scientists like myself that actually created a real solution. Because there's plenty of energy in the wind, blows day and night, South Pole, North Pole, but the industry had to keep focused on that, and they got into the government where they got the governments to subsidize them. That was the key, because they couldn't have made it financially otherwise. So now they've sucked the government dry, so the government has no more interest in putting up money for wind energy because they've already been taken to the cleaners. Okay, so anyway, I'm just giving you a little analysis of where we're going here. This is a very good analysis because it brings you across the spectrum of energy, of the state of education in the world for you, the public, with the Vatican going out and trying to commiserate with evolutionists, which is, to me, bizarre. That is bizarre. The Catholic Church, which concentrates on the creation of man as a individual and throughout history, has taught this, to all of a sudden now jump into bed with evolutionists. This is very bizarre, folks. This is not just a minor turn of event historically. This is a major change in the world and what's going to happen in the world in the coming years and decades and centuries, literally. Okay, so anyway, just remind you, you're off to a new year here. You bought all your Christmas presents. It's time to get back and understand that I sell the best water filter elements on the planet, the JMCC GF water filter elements. Take out everything that you don't want. Let the minerals come through that are healthy for you. It's targeted filtering. These filters remove arsenic and fluoride in the filter itself. You do not need an add-on, as you do with everything, all the other filter brands. Made in the United States, and just the highest quality control, etc. And free shipping. I don't know what more you could ask for. Go to my webpage, jmccsci.com, and check it out. This is James McCanney. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.